of everything that is going wrong or could go wrong. And think of it like this. We have the weight of the global problems in our pocket. Not only do we have the globalization information, we have instant access to all of it. You know, we bring our stress to bed through our iPhones. We work from home, which really makes it difficult to have this work-life balance. Kind of blurs those lines. You ever experienced that? We're expected to respond immediately to emails and text notifications, social media, never really unplugged. You think about social media for youngins, and I would say news sources for those of us who are older. These two things also contribute to it. Our news sources that we spend a lot of time in aren't unbiased, are they? And the only one I really listen to is AP News because it's the most unbiased, but it still makes me focus. Think about how our news companies are biased in that they understand that if you get angry and upset, then you want to watch and listen more. It's this outrage economy, so they only tell you things that are going to get you angry and upset and charged up. So that you're constantly on the edge. And when you're on the edge, then you want to have more information. This outrage economy, this social media comparing ourselves to others, and it's funny how many people... you look at their social media pages, and of course it's not reality. Why would we want to share our bad things? We have this false sense of community and friendships. My generation was the last generation that grew up on the block, playing football on the street. After that, this idea of community and friendship is very distorted today, isn't it? Jay Kim, Pastor Westgate, San Jose, said, this is the ultimate paradox of digital age. At the moment in history when technology allows us to be more connected than ever, we are so very apart. To the point that our understanding of community has developed into a sort of collection of isolated individuals. Isn't that interesting? And the statistics bear this out. You think about anxiety disorders, like just to have, you know, really just a formal anxiety or OCD or hoarding disorders. These types of things, these are the most common mental health disorders in the United States. 19% of the population struggles with it. Nearly one in three adults will experience some kind of an anxiety disorder at some point in their life. And let me tell you something, for young adults, it's like double. Because of all this information, it's too much. Our brains were not meant to deal with instant access to all information at any time of the day. Only God was meant to deal with this, with that. We have instant access to information, so we're distracted. Pressure, there's uncertainty, there are expectations, and so many decisions to make. It kind of reminds me of a backpack. You know, this is a backpack that I have, and in this backpack, this is the words that we carry around in our lives. And as you can see, this is a big one. This is maybe the one you think about the most. Maybe it's your schooling, or it's your singleness, or it's your marriage that's broken, or it's what people did to you in the past, your woundedness. And you carry this around with you everywhere you go, and you get tired. And because you weren't meant to carry this around. And sometimes they're smaller, and you have these littler ones that you carry around. Maybe this one right here, maybe this is just your health, and you've dealt with it better than this, but you know, this is the cancer, and this is the health of your sons or your daughters, and this right here is just your burden for the community and the people in it, and if you're carrying these around, and then this is another one that just came on because you just got diagnosed with something, or your car just broke, and you don't have money to get a new car. So you got that one too, and it just keeps going on, doesn't it? It just keeps going on, this worry and the anxiety that you have in your life. It's these rocks, and you carry it. You need a new job. Your industry now is being shut down because of AI, or you can't do the things that you wanted to do before, or whatever it is. And so we have these worries, and we carry them all day long in this backpack, all of these rocks, and we put this 100 pounds of rocks in our back, and no wonder we're so messed up. You weren't made to carry this around all day pretending that everything's okay. You weren't made to bear the burdens of the world. We carry this big, stupid bag of worry and anxiety with us every day, and I can't walk very far with this, so then I gotta sit down. And I gotta cope with it. So maybe I'll drink. Maybe I'll look at stuff online that I shouldn't. Maybe I'll allow myself to get bitter. Maybe I'll go back to work and work more hours. Why? Because I'm trying to cope with the fact that I have this huge backpack of 100 pounds of weight weighing on me. This anxiety, this depression, these problems. How do we get rid of that? Not just once, right? Because it's an everyday thing. How do we obtain the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? How do we learn the secret of being content in every situation? How do we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not lean on our own understanding? How do we come to Jesus when we are weary and burdened and find rest for our soul? Let me tell you something. If you are not weary and burdened, if you are not struggling with some of these things that are going on, praise God for that, but part of your sanctification will be that you're gonna. You're gonna learn to pick stuff up. Terrible things are gonna happen. Hard things are gonna happen. Things are gonna take place that you can't control. Now, in addition to this, it is so important to remember that the world is watching how we handle our anxiety and our worry. People are watching. I remember I was talking to a guy named Dan when I worked in the hospital system before I was called to ministry. And he said, why would I become a Christian? You guys have the same amount of problems that I do. People are watching how Christians respond when life falls apart. They're watching how we handle uncertainty. They're watching whether our faith actually makes a difference in it. Same struggles and fears and disappointments that they experience. And what if? What if the greatest missional opportunity that we have in this current world is to show people what to do with your anger or your worry or your anxiety? What if it's to show people how to drop that backpack and leave it with the Lord? Not what if. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. 1 Peter 3:5 says, always be prepared to give everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. So today what I really want to do is I just want to focus on this first part of the verse, 1 Peter 5:7. Just cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What does this mean exactly? This is going to set the basis for the series, anxiety. What does this mean? It's this Greek word, merim na. It means the worry or concerns, that which troubles or distracts the mind. Now, here's the new thing you might not know. In the context of the worry and anxiety in merim na, you know what it has to do with? It has to do with being pulled apart. Greek language paints great word pictures. Being pulled apart. This guy's pulling on this arm, and this guy's pulling on this arm, and my arms are going to come off. You're being pulled apart. And specifically, it's being distracted by competing concerns, specifically and biblically, between concerns of this world and concerns with trusting God, with trusting ourselves and trusting God, and we're pulled apart in these two different things. In our marriages, we're pulled apart. You start to think that this is the one direction, if I don't fix everything, or if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then everything's going to be falling apart. We begin trusting our abilities to control relationships more than trusting God's work in both hearts. In our work, or in our future, or in our identity, we begin to trust our understanding of these things more than God's. In our children, we worry about our children. What are they doing? How are they? What's going to take place? And we're pulled by that worry, when we should be pulled by God, who tells us to be patient in all situations, to put our hope in God, especially in our suffering. We begin to think that I'm suffering and I wish God would love me more, or something along those lines. We interpret God's goodness through our circumstances instead of the truth. It forces us to be controlling in nature, control freaks. And all we're doing is driving our car off a cliff. How am I supposed to control my life when I have a 100-pound bag of worries and anxieties on it, on my back? I don't have the stamina to be able to do that, and I'm not supposed to. Now, I do want to say this. There's a difference between biblical anxiety and worry and secular anxiety and worry. Today, worry and anxiety seem to be separated. Worry is just what happens in the mind. It's repetitive thinking about possible future emotions, possible future problems, threats, or negative outcomes. They say worry lives in the mind. Anxiety is more like what happens after it. It's like the physical response, the biological response, dread, racing thoughts, increased heart rate, muscle tension. You ever had an anxiety attack? It feels like a heart attack. I mean, it's scary. Your body is fight or flight, and your body is going crazy. And then what happens with an anxiety disorder is you can get rid of the worry, but you still have the anxiety. Even more difficult is that modern day psychiatry will tell you that the way that you deal with it is to treat it either emotionally or physically, in the sense of therapy or meds, and those are not bad things. I've been to both, and I've been on both. But there's no spiritual component. There's nothing for the soul. God teaches us to treat anxiety and worry spiritually first. How? By casting all your anxiety on Him. Cast is an interesting word. It's a different word than throwing your nets out. You throw your nets out, and you throw it out, and whatever happens to it, hopefully it's the good thing that happens. It's not this. This word, casting, has to do with putting something on someone else, or on something else. When they put their cloaks on the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on, they cast their cloaks on the donkey. It's the difference between letting it go and giving it to someone. It's not simply to throw away your worries, it's to place them where they belong. All your anxiety, you have to identify it and just throw it away. You do something with it and you put it on Him. We give the things we worry about to God. We trust Him, His love, His strength, His will, His sovereignty, His knowledge. This belongs to Him. And He don't feel the weight. So we give it to Him. And in 5 minutes, guess what? It's back on your shoulders. So you give it to Him again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And then in 2 weeks, you lose your job. And then a rock goes into it. And you got to give it to Him again, and again, and again, and again. Why? Because He cares for you. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the Creator of the heavens and the universe cares for you personally? Why do we so often chase the love of created things? Whether it be a human or animals. The Creator of the heavens and the universe knows you by your first name and loves you. Creator who spoke galaxies into existence speaks to you. The God who holds together the universe holds you in His hands. Now, if this is so true, then why do we surrender so much to worry and anxiety? Why don't we trust Him? Why don't we pick up the stupid bag of rocks over and over again and hold on to our worry and anxiety and our pain and our suffering as if that's going to help? The reason comes in the verse right before. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." So one of the number one ways that we think, the reason we don't cast our anxieties on Him is because, you know, it says, "Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand." We think that our hand is mightier, either passively or actively, either subconsciously or consciously. We think, if I just carry this around better, if I just deal with it my way, if I just cope with it in the way that makes sense to me, we think that we can take care of it. We're like the little kid who picks up the laptop from the car and is going to take it in the house. "I got it, I got it. Don't touch, I got it." Boom, and it's gone. That's all we are when we try to hold on to our pain and our suffering and our anxiety and our worry. We don't think that God's hand is mighty. We think that ours is. Otherwise, why would we not give it up? We think our hand is mighty. The second reason comes with that He may lift you up. We think that we know what it means to be lifted up. This is the strengthened and encouraged and restored. We think that we can lift ourselves up better than God. We think we know what it means to fix our lives. If I would just do this, or if my spouse or my kids or my co-workers would just do this, I wouldn't have worry and anxiety anymore. I would feel secure. I would be happy. I would have peace. And the more we do these things, the more rocks we add to the bag that we pretend that we don't carry. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. If I think I know better than God, I may know how to lift myself up, that I'm mightier. It is the ultimate expression of foolishness. And the third thing is, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, into God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." When we think our timing is better, that's a problem. How long should I be bearing this thing? How long should I go through the things that I'm struggling with? It's like the kid you're teaching to make a cake. And you put the cake in the oven, and 3 minutes later, they're like, "It's done." And you're like, "What are you talking about? It's not done." "No, I could tell, Dad. It's not done. No, I'm hungry now. It's done. It's not done. They take it out, they try to cut it, and it's soup. It's cake soup. It's just batter, right? And what happens? And they're upset because they took it out. And they're still hungry, so now they just have to worry of this thing cooking on top of everything. We think our timing is better. I love that it says that he may lift you up in due time. When we think our timing is better than God's in relationships, in work, in suffering, in identity, in all of those things, when we think that our timing is better, we take matters into our own hands. We stop waiting and we start controlling. Really controlling people are taking things into their own hands. We try to force what only God can provide. We rush ahead of God's will. We exchange faith for control. We carry burdens that God never asks us to carry. Thinking you know better than God has gotten you to be anxious and worried and fearful, why would you continue to do it? My friends, why would you carry this backpack with you everywhere you go? Because you think you know better than God. You weren't meant to carry 100 pounds of worry. No wonder you're miserable. No wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're anxious. If my job is to climb a hill, I can't do it with this. So I got to put it down and give it to God because he can carry this. He knows what to do with it. So we humble ourselves. In humility, we go, I'm not you, God. You know better. You know better in your strength. You know better in your timing. You know better what it means to lift me up. So I will cast all my anxiety on you. I'm giving it to you. Here, take it. Take it. Please, God, take it. Take this anxiety that I have over my marriage. Take this anxiety that I have over my school or my family issues or my health. Or the things that I see on the news channel or social media. Take it. God, take it. I don't need it anymore. It's broken me. It's burdened me. It's worried me. It's stressed me out. I'm anxious. So what I'd like for you to do during this series is I would like for you over the next few weeks to identify which rock is the biggest in your bag. What's the big one for you? Maybe a little one is this and a little one is that, but this is the big one, okay? Which one is it for you? I mean, I know what mine is because I've been thinking about it. Is it the past? Is it someone else? Is it health? Is it money? Is it sobriety? Is it woundedness? Is it the world and the sins that we see in it? Is it your kids or your lack thereof? What is the biggest one? You need to identify that immediately so that this doesn't just stay in the head. So that it goes to the hands. Maybe it's in your marriage. If they don't fix this, everything's going to fall apart. But now that you know that God's got this, you can love your spouse faithfully and trust God to work in both your hearts. Or maybe it's in your future. You need to know what's going to happen. But after you cast it on him, you say, look, give me neither poverty nor riches, only my daily bread. I got enough for today. I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I don't need to. Maybe it's in your identity. You begin to think that your worth comes from what you accomplish or how others see you. But you give that to the Lord and you understand that my identity is in Christ and I am special. I am loved. The citizen of heaven left on earth to bring people into the kingdom of God. And maybe it's in your suffering. Maybe in your worry and anxiety, you're like, does God really love me to give me this, to make me go through this over and over and over again? If he did, he wouldn't allow this. So I'm going to cope with this suffering however I see fit. No, but you cast it to God and you say, look, God, I don't know why I'm going through this thing because I'm not you. I don't want to be you because I've got enough worries at home. You end up trusting God's goodness even when you don't understand his plan. And by the grace of God, can I tell you this, my friends? If you desire to cast your worries and your anxieties on God, to give them to God, it all starts with Christ. Amen? What does he say? Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. The yoke is a big piece of wood that goes over the shoulders of two oxen that holds them together so that when they go, if one goes forward, the other one's pulled at the same speed. Take my yoke. Hitch yourself to me. And I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart. It's like Jesus is saying, I know your worries and your anxieties. I know how you're sinful. I know how you would sin next week, and I chose you anyways. Do this and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He already carried the cross. And as we start this series, and as we close our time together today, the invitation of Jesus is simple. Stop carrying what we were never meant to carry. Let me tell you something. The world and your relationships and sin and diagnosis and all these things and work are going to give you reasons to worry. There's always going to be uncertainty and unanswered questions and burdens that you will struggle with whether or not you're going to carry it with you. But we have a God who's greater than every fear, wiser than every circumstance, and more loving than we can ever imagine. St. Jesus, who says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, invites us to lay our burdens at his feet, to yoke ourselves to him, to bind ourselves to him. So my friends, today, whatever you're carrying, whatever fear or anxiety or concern that is pulling you apart between how you think you should handle it or how God thinks you should handle it, whatever is pulling you apart, give it to God. Lay it at his feet. Bring it to him. Let people see the truth that God has the shoulders to take it. So that they can know as Christians, we're not perfect, but we're perfected. That we struggle like everybody else, but we have some place to lay it. Friends, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Amen?
Amen?
Let me pray for us. Father, this is a choice that we make right now. Whatever that thing we've identified that causes us anxiety is, we're done. It's yours. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to choose to not worry about it. I'm going to choose to lay that at your feet And as soon as I walk away from here, I'm going to creep back in and I'm going to turn around and put it back there. Because nothing loves me more and cares for me more than you, including myself. Cast all our anxieties on you because we know that you care for us. We love you, Father. Amen. All right, can someone carry this out to my car, please?